And we're going to do Lord, Listen to Your Children.
Yes, excellent.
You guys are doing the Old Testament.
Yes.
Good morning. Great to see everyone here today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. So a warm welcome to everyone. Special welcome to anyone who may be visiting our church. Every single one of us will be richly blessed by being here in the house and in the presence of God. Special announcement today. Bob and Bev Bergeson have been looking for an excuse to provide cake. And they have found one, because today, this very day, is their 58th wedding anniversary. Whoa! And they invite and they insist that their whole church family join them in their little celebration after the service. Happy anniversary to you both. That's great news, great news. I can't top that, so it's over to you, Mark.
Announcements. Bible study, as usual, at Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. Anyone that would like to join, get in touch with Sandy Reed. Mustard seed, winter gifts. If you wish to donate winter clothing, the tubs are out in the foyer for toques, gloves, scarves, etc., and it will be there until November the 27th. Next Saturday is our fall cleanup around the church to do cleaning the pews and vacuuming some of the little corners and things. So anyone that can come, please do, because many hands make light work. October the 29th, join Alice Francis at the Carstairs Half Century Club from 2 to 5 for her 100th birthday. That's super. This Wednesday night, we have the Alternatives Funeral and Cremation Services coming to give us a talk at 7 o'clock on things that you should know about funeral and cremation. There's a lot of information, like your social insurance number, all these things we should have all written down, because it's when it comes to planning a funeral, it's sometimes hard to find these things. So that's 7 o'clock this Wednesday night, and everyone's welcome. Bill Nixon from the Mustard Seed is coming on October the 30th to present the message. We're going to have the hamburger soup and sandwiches, like for a lunch after the service, like we serve down at the Mustard Seed. And Diana needs five people to bring squares. We have the soup and the buns and everything accounted for, but we need five people to bring a pan of squares. So if you could please tell Diana after church if you are able to help her out on that. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in the amphitheater at the school, they're going to be announcing the amount that the participants from this Cremona and Water Valley area took in for the Wild Pink Yonder. They're going to have the check presentation and a short film showing the ride that they took around here, and a little short program and snacks. So everyone is invited to that. That's Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the amphitheater at the school. Shoeboxes. Their shoeboxes are out in the foyer for anyone to pick up that wish to do one. This year, the Women's Christian Fellowship are doing a boy from age 10 to 14. So if you want to do that, you can certainly participate, or if you want to pack a box of whatever you desire, that's fine too. We have to have the boxes in and ready to go by November the 10th. That's the day that we're packing them here at the church. So if you want to participate, you can either get a box and fill it yourself or bring whatever you would like and we will put it in the boxes. So are there any other announcements?
Those shoe boxes, there's not a lot of time to get them done. They've got to be in by November the 10th, and November the 10th is not far away. So there's boxes out there if you want to contribute towards that, either by filling boxes or bringing some stuff along for when the ladies do the boxes. I just wanted to mention to you here, got a card given to me this morning here, and this is the official birth announcement for Lily Elizabeth Robertson. When she was born, they had this beautiful birth announcement card done, and photographers being photographers, it took a little while for them to get hold of the thing, but this card here is for our church family, and I'm going to put it out at the front there for you to have a look at. It's beautiful. Beautiful pictures of the family on here, the new baby, and we thank you four, for this beautiful card for the church family, and we'll put it up front there, and everybody can come and have a look at it. So there we go. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 21, Jesus speaks these words: "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." More about that later. I felt quite famous there, standing up here, singing with the worship team. And it's good to have the worship team leading our singing this morning, and first of all, leading us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Will you please rise and join us in our first chorus, "All Heaven Declares"? second chorus this morning is How Great Is Our God.
Lord has
Our grateful thanks to the worship team for that beautiful lead into our worship today. Beautiful choruses, beautifully presented, and good singing yourselves. Well done, that was excellent.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we come once again into this holy place, into your house on this your day, Lord. And we come into this place, Lord, and our hearts are just overflowing with joy and with thanksgiving, and we rejoice as we sing your praises, as we sing Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. And it is because our Lord Jesus was slain on our behalf on the cross in Calvary that we are free to live wonderful lives, to be able to sing with joy in our hearts Hosanna, Hosanna. And we thank you, Father. And so as we worship you this day, gracious Lord, we pray that you will accept the praise that we bring. We pray that you will open our hearts and open our minds, and that each and every one of us this day, Lord, may hear your voice. For we know that you have something to say to each and every one of us. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from Exodus 33:12-23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Now please join me in the responsive reading. And this is Psalm 99, 1-5, 8-9. "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy.
Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds.
Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain,
for for the Lord our God is holy.
Glory be to Father and to the Son. In the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
And it's once again my joy and pleasure to hand ourselves over to our worship team for special music. Thank you.
The special music that we chose this morning to do is one that I did in the past, and then I brought it to the worship team, and it's hopefully something that we're going to do as a whole congregation. It's one of my favorites, with a new melody, which now has, I think, become one of my favorites. So, One Piece Like a River.
That was just beautiful. That was a slightly different version of a hymn, which is a great favourite of, I'm sure, many, many, many of us here today, and as well as of Pat. And thank you. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now on this day, Lord, and we bring before you these our gifts, humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children would like to come and join me, please. This is a trick question, okay? It's a trick question, so listen carefully. A farmer has 26 sheep. One of them was so sick that it died. How many did he have left? 23. You reckon 25?
Whatever.
Now let me tell you it again, and I'm going to do it slowly this time. A farmer had 20 sick sheep. 20 sick sheep. One of them got so sick it died. How many did he have left?
19.
Correct. Did you get it? It was a trick. It was a trick. I tricked you. Here's another one. A farmer has 15 sheep. All but 9 of them die. All but 9 of them die. How many did he have left? Right. You were on to it that time. You see, I was trying to trick you. You ever try to trick people? I'm sure you do. You know, when our grandchildren come to our house, we've got a piece of polythene at the bottom of our basement stairs, and it's to keep the carpet clean, and it's got little bubbles on the underside to stop it sliding around. And you know what our grandchildren do? They turn it over, so the next person who goes down there and stands on it, and they trick us, you know. And there was one time there was some people in the Bible, and they tried to trick Jesus. And you know what they did? They said to Jesus, "Is it right for us to pay taxes?" Now, back then, nobody liked paying taxes. I don't think people like paying taxes now. Shall I ask? Put your hand up if you like paying taxes. Nobody. Nobody likes paying taxes, and nobody liked paying taxes then. So they said to Jesus, "Is it right for us to pay taxes?" And if he said, "Yes, it's right," then the people would be mad with him. And if he said, "No, it isn't right," then the Roman authorities would be mad with him. So it was one of these things. Whatever Jesus said, he would be in trouble. So you know what he did? Jesus, who was Jesus, by the way? Jesus is God with us, and you can't outsmart God, can you? What Jesus did, he went in his pocket and he took out a coin. No, he didn't. He got somebody else to go in their pocket. Because preachers never have coins in their pockets. So he asked somebody for a coin, and he got the coin, and he said, "Whose face is on the coin?" And the Pharisees in the temple said, "Well, it's Caesar's face." And so Jesus says, "Well, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." And he says, "And give back to God the things that are God's." And so they tried to trick him. Caesar was like the authorities, you know, like who you paid the taxes to. Everybody had to pay taxes to him, and they didn't like doing it. So they tried to trick Jesus, but they failed to trick him. Okay? Jesus is God, and you cannot outsmart God. We've always got to be honest with God. Always. We've got to be honest with everyone, haven't we? Shall we say a little prayer together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you never ever try to trick us. You are always honest with us, straightforward, and if we follow you, we will never be tricked by anyone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do we have someone to sing with these children this morning?
Ta-da! Well, if you're happy and you know what, clap your hands.
If you're happy, you know what, clap your hands.
Amen. Thank you, David. You did a good job there, I think. Thank you. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 262, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
Very often when Iris and I drive through to church on Sunday morning, we talk about our church family and different ones who we may not have seen for a while and different ones who may have been sick. And when we walk into church, it's amazing how often that the prayers that you're praying are answered, that the people that you've been thinking about and praying for come walking into church and they're right here. And this morning, it was my joy to see Chris Kennedy come into church this morning. Chris, if you don't know, she had a bit of an incident with a horse, and the horse won. and she's been having a tough time, and in and out of hospital, and, you know, tests and medical stuff. It was a great joy to see Chris walk in here, and God bless you, Chris, good to see you. And Bob Tribe came walking in here, bouncing in here with Muriel. And I know Bob's been having problems with his lungs and with his oxygen and stuff like that. And he hates to miss church. He hates to miss it. And here he is. So good to see you, Bob. And if there's anybody else who I've missed, I do not miss you intentionally. Someone somewhere is looking at you and thinking, there's an answered prayer sitting there. We have many, many people who pray in our church family. And we have many, many instances of answered prayer. And we praise the Lord. We continually praise him and we continue to offer to him our prayers. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the peace and prosperity that we enjoy in living right where we live. We are thankful for the abundance of crops, the clean and plentiful supply of water, for the resources that sustain us and for the comfort of our lives and for your great and wonderful love that surrounds us. And we acknowledge, Father, that while we live in such comfort, around us exists a whole wide bewilderment of suffering and hopelessness and want and grief. We turn on our televisions, Father, and world events are sometimes of such proportion that we try to disengage from reality, and sometimes we even close our minds to things as though they do not exist. But for now, Lord, in these prayers and within our hearts, we engage mind and soul once more with your passionate love for all of your children, for all human beings. We pray, Father, that you will help us in our lives to get our priorities right, to work at those things which are eternal, rather than those things which are merely passing, to store up treasures in heaven rather than here on earth, where they are really worthless. Help us, Father, to give ourselves to you completely, not only for a short time on Sunday morning, not only with a few dollars to satisfy our conscience, but to seek to give to you, Lord, every minute of every day, and everything that we are and everything that we can become. May we, in your name, bring joy and hope to those who suffer, to those who are in need, as we follow and obey your laws and your commandments, as you have meant them to be obeyed and followed. And so we ask you now, Father, to hear our silent prayers for those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for and to think about and to pray for. And so we pray for them right now, Father, in silence. Lord God, as we present these our silent prayers, we remember that you have promised that all who trust in you will never be disappointed. Help us, Lord God, to render what is due to our country and to render what is due to you, our Lord and our Creator. We ask you, Father, to bless this, our church family, to meet its needs and bless those within it whose homes are under your care and under your protection. And as we offer to you, Father, all of these our prayers, both the spoken and the unspoken, we join with our Saviour as he prayed to you in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning. The scripture reading from the Gospel is St. Matthew 22:15-22. Return to God the things that are God's. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. The epistle reading is 1 Thessalonians 1, 1-10. You turn to God from idols. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Our thanks to Bob for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the God's glory. Hymn 59, "I sing the mighty power of God." Let's sing it with mighty gusto. We stand and sing.
Shines full at his command, and all the
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a title to the message this morning, I chose to take my text from the original King James Version, where the words used were render unto God. As I get a bit further into the message, you'll see why I chose to use these particular words. A young boy badly wanted $100 for some noble cause that he was involved in. And so he prayed to God for a whole week for $100, and nothing happened. So he decided he would try writing a letter to God, requesting the $100 that he so urgently needed. When the post office got this envelope addressed to God, they forwarded it to Stephen Harper. So the story goes, well, he is the Prime Minister, come on. So the Prime Minister was very touched and amused, so he instructed one of his aides to send the boy $5, thinking that for a little boy, $5, that would be great. And the boy was indeed quite delighted with the money. So he sat down and he wrote a thank you note. And this is how it went. Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you sent it via Ottawa. And as usual, they kept most of it. Taxes. I think most of us are familiar with the quotation, which is accredited to Benjamin Franklin. In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. And a cynic has said, death and taxes may always be with us, but at least death doesn't get any worse. And then there is a quotation from Arthur Godfrey, who is a former star of radio, and he said, I feel honoured to pay taxes to my country. The thing is, I would probably feel just as honoured if it was half the price. So all this about taxes. In our lectionary gospel reading today, Jesus has asked this question about paying taxes. Now you will recall that over the past 3 weeks, our gospel readings have included parables from Jesus. First of all, about the two sons working in the vineyard, where one said no, he wouldn't go, and the other said yes, he did, but he didn't, and it all switched round and so on. And then there was the parable of the wicked tenants of the vineyard who were cast out by the owner. Then there was the parable of the wedding feast and the man who came incorrectly dressed. And in these three parables, Jesus had attacked and denounced the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees. He had humiliated them in front of the people. And in these parables, chief priests and the Pharisees had emerged as the discontented son, the evil tenants and the ill-fated guest at the wedding. And they knew that Jesus was attacking them. And in Matthew 21:45, it tells us the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, and they knew he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds. So the crafty Pharisees came up with another means of getting at Jesus, and this time it certainly looked to be foolproof. And it would take care of Jesus once and for all. At some time or other, I think most kids have pulled this one on their younger siblings to get something from them that they want. You know, whatever it is they want, they say, let's flip for it. Let's flip a coin for it. Heads I win, tails you lose. Heads comes up, sorry kiddo, I win. Tails comes up, oops, sorry, you lose. So whichever way the coin lands, it is going into the older sibling's pocket. And it truly is a no-win situation for one of them. And so Matthew 22 verse 15 tells us that this is exactly the type of situation that the Pharisees were trying to create for Jesus. The Pharisees went off and made a plan to trap Jesus. And they did this in collusion with a group of people called the Herodians. The Herodians. Now, what was immediately suspicious about this was that these two groups of people, the Pharisees and the Herodians, were normally bitter opponents and enemies. The Herodians, as the name suggests, were a political support group of King Herod. Herod, who ruled Galilee but owed his power to the Romans, whom the Jews hated. And so the Pharisees, who supposedly supported the Jewish people, were supremely orthodox, and they resented any payment of any kind of taxes to a foreign king, because this is against all of their religious convictions. So we got these two opposing groups. But for the moment, however, their vast differences seem to be forgotten in this attempt to eliminate the common enemy, Jesus. The Pharisees had been trying for weeks to try and devise some trap for Jesus, some trick question that would cause him to either lose the popular support of the people or draw upon himself the wrath of the Roman government. And their question was preceded by a big chunk of flattery. And that usually works in getting people off the guard. And so they come forward and they say, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, and you treat everyone in the same way." Wow, isn't that great stuff? "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" Jesus couldn't say no, "Don't pay your taxes," or he would have been arrested as a traitor to Caesar. Nor could he say yes, "Pay your taxes," or he would have been seen as loyal to Caesar, and the people would have turned on him. What a clever question. So each of these two opposing groups eagerly await Jesus' answer, because either way, one of these two groups is going to get him. It seemed for Jesus a no-win situation. But of course, as it transpires, neither of them are successful in trapping Jesus. And once again, Jesus turns the tables on these leaders. Verse 18 says, "Jesus perceived their wickedness." Jesus perceived their wickedness. Jesus is God. Even the children know that Jesus is God. We cannot deceive God. He made us. He knows us inside out. He knows what is on our mind before it even gets onto our mind. Remember Psalm 139, the X-ray psalm? Some reminders from Psalm 139. "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely." And so Jesus calls these people hypocrites because he knows what's going on in their minds. He knows that they have no interest in his opinion on taxes or anything else. They want to get rid of him. So instead of directly answering their question, Jesus basically says, "Show me the tax money. Show me the tax money." The tax money for these Jews to the Romans was a denarius. And so he says, "Show me the tax money." They're in the temple at this time. So one of the Pharisees goes into his pocket and he pulls out a denarius and he hands it to Jesus. Now there's an interesting point here, because this coin breaks two of the Ten Commandments. On it had the inscription, "Tiberius Caesar August, son of the divine Augustus." The first commandment that this coin breaks is, you shall have no other gods before me. Only God is God. Only God is divine. And the next commandment that it breaks is, you shall not worship graven images. And in addition to breaking these commandments, in Jewish law it was forbidden to have these coins in the temple. So when Jesus asks for someone to produce one of these coins, these idolatrous, blasphemous, God-mocking coins, where does it come from? Right out of the pocket of one of the Pharisees, standing right there in the temple. Sure, I've got one here. And you know, I can just imagine the smile on Jesus' face when he saw that coin come right out of the pocket of the Pharisee. The Pharisees deserve to be called hypocrites. Whose image and inscription is this? Jesus asked. Caesar's, they replied. And in his answer, Jesus changes the wording that was in the original question. The question that was originally asked was, is it lawful to pay taxes? And the answer came, render, not pay, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. And the word render means give back to the original owner. Give back to the original owner. Render to Caesar, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the things that bear his image. And render to God, give back to God the things that belong to God, that bear God's image. So you've got these Pharisees here. They knew the scriptures well. They were the experts on the scriptures. And they knew by heart what it says in Genesis 1, 26 to 27. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, both male and female he created them. So you see what Jesus is saying. The coin bears the image of Caesar and belongs to Caesar. Return to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The coin belongs to someone other than ourselves. Render unto Caesar. Give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And you and I are created in the image of God. We bear God's image. Render unto God the things that are God's. Your life and everything that you possess, you have by God's grace. His love and his grace. Martin Luther, he once said, I have held many things in my hand and have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. Whatever I have placed in God's hands, like my life, I still possess. A young lady was once soaking up the sun's rays on a holiday beach. And a young boy approached her wearing his swimming trunks, and he asked her a question which surprised her. And he asked her, do you believe in God? And she was surprised by the question, and she replied, well, yes, as it happens, I do. And then he asked her, do you go to church on Sunday? And she answered again, well, yes, I do. And then he wanted to know, did she read the Bible and did she say her prayers? And again she said, yes. And her curiosity was really aroused by all of this. And then this little guy gave a big sigh of relief, and he said to her, will you hold my dollar when I go in swimming? The question is, in whose safe keeping will you entrust those things that you consider to be valuable? Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, when my band join me, my backup group, we're going to sing our before God's people. We're going to sing this beautiful old hymn, which is sung to an old Welsh melody called the Ashgrove. And so first of all, we stand and we sing to God's glory, sent forth by God's blessing. We stand and sing. To be God's people. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.